Drew Davison, Fort Worth Star-Telegram on TCU, that Paul has a stretch of a bunch of Big 12 programs will feature. A couple of high school coaches, Ricky Sargent-Hearn and Craig Horn of Italy, will join us at 4:45 and 4:50. And Calvin Watkins will join us, a late addition to the show from the Athletic, from the Dallas Morning News. On Mike McCarthy had a Zoom meeting and media presser earlier today. Craig Smoak in studio, Paul Catalina, David Smoak on this Friday afternoon. First day, this normally would have been the first day for high school football players to get in pads. They had actually been in somewhat shells for the last couple of days. I went to Connolly, went out to La Vega because it's close to where I am. And it was interesting, Craig, that they're kind of going about their business. And of course, no scrimmaging for another couple of weeks, but it right now, everything seems to be going according to plan.
Well, first things first, 90 divided by 5 is 18, so this is the end of week 18. Okay. So we clear that up a little bit. So inbound the weeks 19 starting on Monday. But, yeah, it's just good to see people back out there doing their thing and, just getting back to it, getting back to some normalcy. It's nice.
Standing by on the Richard Carr Buick GMC Cadillac Baylor Bear Hotline. That sounds like that Chrysler 300 that I'm driving right now, is Matt Powledge. He's the special teams coach and Baylor safety coach who just came out of a staff meeting, joins us to start the show today on Sikkim 365 Radio. Matt, I know tomorrow the different levels of workout, you guys are getting closer to getting more and more back into a routine. Your thoughts about where everything is and just getting closer to getting back to whatever normal might be.
Yeah, we were talking about it this morning, just as a staff, how excited everybody is, myself included. I woke up this morning and it felt like Christmas morning, right? Like, hey, you're headed to the office to have your report day meeting. Tomorrow is going to be practice one. I mean, just the energy right now. And then talking to players yesterday, I mean, they're so fired up. I mean, we can't wait to get back on the field with them and doing football activities, obviously.
Matthew Powledge on Sikkim 365 Radio, despite the fact he's a Sam Houston State graduate. I'm a little bit perturbed by that. We waited until I had to bring that out because I'm a proud SFA guy, but Sam Houston has owned that rivalry, at least in football, not men's basketball. Did you know that you were coming on a show with an SFA guy?
I did, man, and I told Taylor Bryan that me and you can't be friends. And I also wanted to point out that I think we won 9 in a row. We're going for 10 this year, so yeah. we'll just keep on keeping the streak alive.
Matt Powledge.
Coach, I'm not great at math. I'm an FSU guy. That's only a freshman course, so we can move on past that. But that sounds like nearly a decade to me. I'm just saying.
That's right.
It sounds like it's been about 5 decades to me. Matthew Powledge with us on Sikkim 365 Radio. Paul?
Coach, you step in the secondary with the safeties. That's a position that has a little experience. You know, there were people that were gone, but with Christian Morgan back and JT Woods, you've got some guys with playmaking ability and especially guys with some good head on your shoulders. What's been your assessment so far?
Yeah, you're exactly right. Between JT, Christian Morgan, Jaron McBay, even Jalen Petrie has kind of converted, playing a little bit of star right now for us. Those guys right there have experience. They haven't been the guy per se, but hundreds of snaps, have been taken on defense between those guys. They're very intelligent, very smart, high care factor, and they just go about their business the right way. I think that they're very, very hungry at this moment in time too, for it to be, their time, for them to be in the spotlight. So I'm excited about what those guys bring to the table for us as a defense and as a football team.
Coach, what was the position you mentioned for Petrie, the star position, and what does that kind of entail?
Yeah, so, he'll usually, our star position is usually aligned to the field, kind of a field side overhang, so kind of a nickel spot, if you will, that a lot of people play. Sam linebacker in the old school 4-3. So that guy can do a multitude of things for us. He can be a blitzer. He's got to be able to play zone coverage. He's got to be able to cover a slot, things like that. He kind of fits that mold in a lot of those regards. And he's a very smart, intelligent, and very, very competitive kid.
you have always been known for being very good at what you do when it comes to being a coach, but also the recruiting part of that. That's not just something that happens. Did you learn under someone in particular, or did you kind of soak in over the times you've been at various programs like SAM or ULM or UL or even the time you were at Kentucky? Is that kind of like you soak in from everybody you've been around?
That's right. I really feel like I've been blessed to be around some really good football coaches in my tenure. And, you know, starting back at, you know, when I was a TA, it was, you know, Mike Lucas, Alan Rudolph, some of those guys right there. And then going to Northwestern State, Bradley Del Pivito is a huge mentor of mine. And I was with him at Kentucky with Mark Stoops, Derek Ainsley, some guys that, you know, I was able to work with and see it done the right way. And then most recently, Casey Keeler, Matt Viator, and then also Billy Napier's, I think, one of the best, you know, at exactly what we're talking about right now. So those guys right there have really kind of groomed me, and I've kind of pulled things from each spot and each coach, and really done a try to do my best of just watching and listening, learning, and being all ears and eyes.
How much better recruit does it make you when you start out somewhere where you have to maybe do a more of a sell job than if you're at a Power Five school?
Yeah, I think it's completely different, right? So I think a lot of times the Power Five is like glitz and glamour. It's, you know, hey, look at this. You know, we're on TV. Look at the big stadium, brand new, right on the river. Like, all that helps like tremendously. And then when, you know, you've been some of the places I have, it's like, don't take them to the team room. Don't take them to, maybe not the stadium or maybe not the locker room. Right. So how do you have success at places like that? It's about the human element, really, to be honest. And, showing them that you care about them more than just a player, but as a person too, and how you can help them and develop them. So that's kind of what I've pulled from some of those places. And that's, you know, and if you can do the things that I talked about at the lower levels, right, and have success with that, and then bring those to a place like Baylor, then I think, you know, you can have a lot of success, you know, in the recruitment process.
Coach, you had obviously been working with Ron Roberts here recently, but as far as the rest of the staff goes, how familiar were you with Dave Aranda or anyone else for that matter? What were your kind of prior experiences, and what's it been like together as a staff kind of getting to know each other?
Yeah, so it started in 2016, I believe. I was at Louisiana Monroe, and Les Miles kind of started this, and Ed Orgeron been pretty strong on it as well. But, hey, let's keep the other schools, out-of-state schools, out of the state of Louisiana in the summertime for camps. And so that was really huge. It was, don't let Texas come to such and such high school and host a camp, or don't let Alabama go to Louisiana College and host a camp. Like, so in saying that, all the camps kind of starting in 2016 were held, you know, by in-state schools, and LSU would travel and maybe go to your camp if you were having one, and then you were invited to go to theirs and work their camp. So I worked a multitude of camps at LSU and met Coach Aranda. I had a three-day camp where I, you know, basically coached the linebackers and worked with him specifically. And so that was huge. That was kind of my first familiarity with him and getting to know him. Obviously, him and Coach Roberts go way back, you know, 15 years ago. You know, they were obviously on staff with each other at one point in time. So working with Coach Roberts at Lafayette, we had the ability to, you know, jump on I-10 and, you know, get into their facility, and same thing, vice versa. So there was times where we would go down there and meet with those guys. So I probably had a lot of familiarity with them. You know, Sean Bell, me and him knew each other. Brian played at Sam Houston, was a really good player. Sean coached, you know, at Magnolia West, which was right down the road from where I grew up. And, you know, I recruited his school a couple of times. And then Dennis Johnson, the D-line coach, me and him have been roommates on two separate occasions at Northwestern State and at University of Kentucky. And David Wetzel, I used to recruit Reagan High School. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of guys on staff that I either had good relationships with or knew pretty well. George Munoz, me and him, we're like two ships passing in the night at Lafayette. He was there for 6 or 7 years. And then when he left his last year, I came in the next year. So, yeah, there's some guys here that that I knew and had great relationships with.
Do you feel like, and that's the way it is a lot of times in anything, the networking or knowing people, and eventually you come together. But do you feel like because of what you have dealt with as a staff, first year under Dave Aranda, then the suspensions of everything because of COVID, do you feel like that's allowed you to, despite not having a lot of time with the players, still have a close-knit group that kind of understands each other because of all these tie-ins?
Yes, sir, I think so. And I think that's something that Coach Aranda has really harped on, right, is, hey, let's use this as our advantage. Let's FaceTime our kids every morning and make sure that, you know, we're developing relationships with them. When we Zoom call them and, hey, we're going to talk about, you know, cover three today, before you get to that, you know, make sure that you ask them how their day's going and maybe, you know, ask, you know, hey, how are things around you? How's your mom and dad? How's your brothers and sisters? And we've reached out to parents and things like that. We've tried to do the best that we possibly could with the situation that we're in. And it has been a challenge. There's no question about it. But one of my favorite quotes is, you know, adverse conditions are our advantage, right? So when things get tough, right, and they're tough for everybody during this time, but let's overcome that and do it better than anybody else is doing it right now.
Matthew Pallage, our guest right now on Sikkim 365 Radio.
We're told that you're an amateur food critic. I would like to know how you're amateur, and I would like to know also, how do you go pro?
Oh, man. So this has started a long way back, but I'll give you all most recently kind of what we're doing right now. Me, Brian Stewart, Taylor Bryan, two of our video guys, Johnny Satterfield and Robert Perez, and there's been a couple others join us as well. We're doing a burger review around town right now. And so every Thursday over like the last 4 weeks, we've gone, got a burger from a restaurant. It's got to be the same as every time. So basically the criteria, you know, has to be, it's a double bacon cheeseburger, you know, however you want the fixings. And then you got to get fries with nothing on top. You can't do like the animal style fries at whatever that place
In
is.
And out, yeah.
Out. Yeah. So you got to go, you know, the same as when you go to the next place. And then we graded off size, taste, how good was the bacon and cheese, how good was the bun. We rated on a 1 to 10 scale. And then we fill out the form. We post it on Brian Stewart's wall in his office. And so that's where we're at right now. And I really enjoy that. I'll be honest with you. You know, after faith, after family, after football, it's like food's right up there next, like for me. And that's probably, you know, my mom's Greek. And so at the house growing up, we used to have, you know, awesome dinner meals and, you know, any type of holiday. I mean, we would do it big, right? So I love food, and that's just kind of, you know, at the core of me, to be honest. So yeah, that's kind of an example right there, I would say.
That's awesome. That's a lot of fun. I'm sure you guys have had a blast with that, and hopefully you found some good burgers along the way as well, Coach. what would you describe your coaching style as, and when people see your players out there on the field, what do you want their thoughts to be about what they're seeing from your guys?
Yeah, so I think when I think of maybe how I want to be seen or how I've heard myself described, you know, energy, you know, relationships, I think, are really big for me. When you see my players, what I would like for you to see, and I hope that it shows up on tape, is just hustle, hard work's been invested, and those guys have a lot of heart. And those are the things I think that'll not only take you a long way in football, but in life as well, right? I think this game, you know, is a lot about relationships, and this profession is a lot about relationships. I think life is too, right? The trust, communication, things like that. So those are probably the main things that I would say that I would want to stick out and would want people to say.
You mentioned all that food, and now, but I've been told from sources unknown that you've dropped some weight now, that you were like, listen, I've gone through a lot of that as well. We've all done that at some point, but that you've dropped from 235. What are you now? That you, so are you sticking?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I got notes.
Right. That's right. Well, yeah, I was 235 in college. I'm about 195 right now. I probably haven't been over 210 probably since, in the last 10 years. So my weight does fluctuate. When we get into that conference, schedule kind of the meat of it, I'll probably be weighing about 185, 190. when we get done with the holidays, I'll probably be around 200, 205. But, it does fluctuate. I don't do a great job of working out, like I should. So I just kind of have to, monitor what I do eat and, try to stay in decent shape. But anyways, yeah, sorry.
Matthew Pallage, I know you got practice at 4. A couple more questions with us on Sikkim 365 Radio.
Yes, sir.
You also, your sister's a coach, a softball
right.
coach, I believe, at University of Houston. How much do you guys share just philosophy or motivation, or do you get a chance to kind of just discuss coaching college kids these days?
Yeah, absolutely. We've talked a bunch. This was going to be her first season at the University of Houston as a coach. She was All-American at Alabama, heck of a softball player. And so she just kind of entered the profession and was really excited that she did because she has all the tools to be a great one. And during this quarantine time, we've had the ability to share different ideas, maybe that they were doing with their players, maybe what we were doing with ours. We've been able to share just kind of philosophy, how she saw things. They've had some really cool meetings where maybe they've talked to, had Zoom meetings with some major league coaches, right? We've had Tony Dungy, come talk to us, RG3, guys like that. And just talking about just, athletics in general and being able to share that with her is really special.
You're also a golfer. Your golf game's done now, right? It's over. You're done now that everything's kind of working up. What's the lowest handicap you've had other than your clubs?
Oh man, I I'm not a great golfer. I just really love the game. So I go out there half the time and I don't keep score. I just play the course.
Just enjoy it. Yeah,
I just enjoy it. I'm not super competitive with it. In the sense that sometimes I just like going out there and playing just, just by myself, just trying to get better. I'll usually probably shoot, I play 9 holes mostly just to be honest, because 18, I just start fading away for whatever reason. So I'll go out there on a good day and probably be +4 on 9 holes. That's probably, in the meat of the summer. Usually around February or March or spring break, I'm probably around 10 to 12 over. So, when you take off 6 months and don't play a lick and you come back to it, mm-hmm. there's a lot of rust to knock off.
No question about it. You were a walk-on player in college at Sam Houston State and became a guy that made a name for himself. Do you feel like that also allows you to understand those that maybe weren't highly recruited or are trying to make a team and make a name for themselves by making a play in a practice or during a scrimmage or something like that?
Absolutely. And that's probably one of the things that gets me most fired up is when those guys emerge during training camp or maybe early in the season with some of those opportunities. I was a guy like, hey, they didn't even know I was showing up the first day of workouts in the summertime. They're like, who are you again? They're like, what high school? Who told you to come here? And next thing you know, right, a couple of years later, I'm playing important snaps for our football team, and I just think about the guys that invested in me in college and the impact they had on my life, me as a player and a person, and I hope that I have the ability to do the same thing with some of the walk-ons or maybe the guys that have a chip on their shoulder coming in here as three-star guys, or maybe they weren't highly touted, whatever, but help them reach their goals on and off the field.
Hey, Coach, since you spent some time at ULM, I wanted to ask you with what's in the news today. They're going to play La Tech, which is the first time in forever. Having been in that area and been a part of those programs, how big is that news that La Tech and ULM are going to finally play for the first time in a while?
Yeah, that's huge. It's huge for that community. It's huge for both schools. I would say just kind of being there before, La Tech, they're big brother, right? Mm-hmm. ULM's like little brother. And so I think there's going to be, if they can keep that going, that would be great. Because if you've ever been to Monroe, Louisiana, it's like, hey, you cross the bridge from West Monroe to Monroe, and you're in kind of ULM territory. But when you're in West Monroe, it's still, you kind of got a lot of LIHTC feel to it. And so there's always talk every year, like, hey, who's better? Like, if we played, who would win? And it just never happens, right? And you're like, why not? They're, you know, they're right down the road, 30 minutes from each other. But for that to happen this year, that'll be awesome for both programs.
Every staff, and this is it, I know you got to go, every staff has had kind of challenges because of the spring, but this is a brand new staff put together with some returners from the Matt Rhule staff. If anyone sits there and says, well, it's going to be hard because you haven't been together, you haven't had spring drills or whatever, what would you say to them about what you've seen you accomplish as a staff, even during these times?
You don't mind repeating that one more time,
yeah,
do you? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a new staff, so there might be some that think, man, it's going to be a challenge. But everyone's had to have that challenge, whether they have a staff back or not, head coach back or not, have been there for 5 or 10 years or not. What would you say to anyone that may think it's a challenge because you haven't really been together that long and had to deal with COVID and no spring drills, about what your staff has accomplished in these times?
Yes, sir. Well, we've had a lot of time to plan and to organize and to put a plan together that we feel like is the best plan for our kids and get these guys ready to play. And it is a challenge for us. And we kind of have a saying on special teams around here, we do hard things better. So that's kind of our mindset right now, right? With it being tough and it being hard, you know, we're going to do it better than other people. So we've really been very intentional, you know, about our plan. Now it's just time to go execute it.
Matthew, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Good luck with the burger challenge critique and all that with it. Thank you so much. Matthew Pallage,
thank you so much for having me.
Safeties and special teams coach at Baylor, with us on Sikkim 365 Radio. Coming up next, Rachel Barbeau, who's now connected with the corporate sponsorship with the Big 12. She, of course, showed up on the Baylor campus back, 3 or 4 years ago and made an impact on many lives. She's next on Sikkim 365 Radio. Alan Samuels, Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat. August, of course, the heat of the summer continues to bear down, and they also have some hot deals for you. 0% financing, no payments for 90 days remains in effect on most new vehicles, including the 2020 Ram Lone Star Crew Cab. 0% for 72 months, no payments for 90 days. The Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV in the world. 0% for 72 months, no payments for 90 days. And also the same offer on the Jeep Cherokee, the Jeep Renegade, and the Jeep Compass. Alan Samuels loaded up with new inventory. Summer clearance event continues. And multiple locations in 5 different states, relationship with dealers across the country to find any vehicle that you want. 100% on board to keep you safe during your shopping experience in person. Or if you want to go online, you can do that, and they can deliver the car to you by going to AlanSamuelsDCJ.com. Alan Samuels, an FCA Customer First Award of Excellence winner by J.D. Power, one of a handful of dealers across the country to win the award. Alan Samuels, Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat, Loop 340 east of 84 in Waco.
One size fits all. That may be all right for an adjustable belt or cheap sunglasses, but when it comes to your financial needs, no one wants a one-size-fits-all strategy. Ben Erlinson, your Edward Jones Financial